Today on Real Radio.
Before it can be historically accurate, the Bible first has to be prophetically accurate. Because here's the wonderful thing about time. What has become history to us was once prophetic to a group of people.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack Hibbs continues his topical series now called What Christians Believe. And within this collection of studies, our current series within a series is called About the Bible. Pastor Jack's spending a little extra time and a little extra effort and focus on this subject of Scripture itself because it is indeed our Creator's special revelation to us. Now, is God's Word just one among many so-called sacred texts? And just how do those other writings compare to the Bible? And why is it that the Bible alone is under such constant scrutiny and criticism, whereas the other books are either largely ignored or largely revered? Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now continuing in his presentation called About the Bible.
God gave us the Bible from His very will, from His very heart. The Bible that you have in your lap is God's will. We often say as Christians, I wish I knew God's will. Don't raise your hand, but when you're a new believer, that is the driving passion of your life, is to find God's will in your life. Oh, God, I need to know your will. And it's almost like a lake behind a dam, you know? It's pushing and the pressure to know God's will. When you're longing and thirsting for God, and maybe God is doing that in your life, you'll do anything to find God's will. You'll grab a jug of water, and you'll go out into the desert, and you'll fast and pray and seek the Lord just to hear Him speak about His will. God, tell me what you want me to do. Or maybe you'll take your Bible and you'll go down to the beach or whatever you might do, up to the mountains, and you'll read your Bible and you say, God, I'm not moving until I hear from you. The Lord loves that kind of passion in your life, that hungering. For He tells you that if you search after Him with all of your heart, He will be found by you. And so we pursue Him and we seek after Him. We long after Him. In the very origination of the Scripture, God gives toward us that He might meet all of our longing and of our desire. That's why you and I going around this world trying to get a fix on possessions or monetary things or whatever it might be to somehow appease us or bring us pleasure never brings us pleasure. The entire human race has been programmed to be satisfied by God's Word. And until we come to Him and realize that, and until we allow Him to reach out to us, we will be frustrated. The origination of God's inspired word is that it would reach us. Number two, we saw last time as well that its revelation toward us was fourfold. In creation, God speaks to us in His creation model. In miracles, or by miracles, by Jesus Christ, and of course by the Bible itself. I picked up a quote that I left out last time. It's by Dr. A.E. Wilder Smith, and those of you who've traveled around Calvary Chapels at all, you remember Dr. Wilder Smith. In fact, he had we had the opportunity and the high honor to have him speak at this church years ago. He's now in heaven with the Lord. Dr. Wilder Smith said, and I quote, "There are two Bibles that every man can read. One is the physical witness, the creation of God. The other is the Bible itself. These two are in perfect harmony, one with another. God's creation, God's Word." And we know that God has revealed Himself to us by those miracles, by Jesus Christ, by creation, and by the Bible. The second point we saw last time was that God's Word is inerrant. That means God's Word has no errors in it. Now remember, we talked on this, and I don't need to belabor it. God did not put forth the Bible in English. The New King James the King James translators in 1610 translated out of the original languages into English for us, okay? But God gave the Bible in Hebrew, in Greek, and a little bit of Aramaic found in Daniel chapter 2, I believe, out to Daniel chapter 7. In the original writings, in the original authorship, the Bible is without error. And some fantastic finds in 1947 was the Dead Sea Scrolls. Did you know all of the Dead Sea Scrolls contained every book of the Bible except the book of Esther? the Dead Sea Scrolls, found by a Bedouin who had lost his sheep into a cave, picked up a rock, threw it into one of those caves in Qumran. We've been there to see those caves. And he heard glass break. And he went inside there, and there are these massive urns, these cisterns. In fact, look at this one. It's very much not too different than this one right here. A little different in color, but about maybe a foot taller. Very much the same shape. And when he broke that, inside were scrolls that had been preserved. Ancient scrolls, when they unearthed those things and they began to match them, guess what they found out? It was word for word old King James Bible, the old King James scriptures. And by the way, I don't remember, but when that Bedouin found those scriptures, I think he sold them to somebody in Jerusalem for something like 20 bucks. And since that Dead Sea Scroll find, what used to be known as the German School of Higher Criticism, a theological think tank that put down the Bible, it shut their mouths and put them out of business. In fact, the book of Daniel itself was almost found in its entirety. Incredible, fantastic. The Bible is without error, and it declares it of itself. How can that be the case? Number one, it's the reason why, it's because it's from God himself. That's why. It's not only from God, but we saw last time that it's his creation. That is, God put forth the word, and I love the fact that on our laps is the Bible that God has preserved. Isn't it neat? Think about it. We are living in the 21st century, and on your lap you have a book that is thousands and thousands of years old, and yet it is more current than tomorrow. I think that's just awesome. All of it, by the way, in absolute agreement with itself. One prophet 1,000 years before the other, not contradicting the other, but giving more insight into what was still yet to come. There were prophets of thousands of years before Christ came, speaking about what Christ would do. And then there were prophets that were just 500 years before Christ, 753 years before Christ, like Isaiah, who wrote in great detail, not contradicting what the prophets had wrote earlier, but illuminating more. And then when Christ came, what happened? Exactly as the Bible foretold in thousands of prophecies. A skeptic might say, well, Jesus went around fulfilling all of those thousands of prophecies. Impossible. When you study the Gospels and the book of Acts alone, it would have been impossible for Christ to fulfill these things. God knew them. So God, as the Bible says, spoke to his prophets. The prophets say, and have written in the scriptures, that the Lord does nothing without first revealing his word to his prophets. The Bible. Spectacular. You can have faith in your Bible. In a day and an age that your Bible is under attack, you can open it up with boldness. It's my opinion. This is my opinion. That especially in the old King James version of the Bible, that when you read it, you better pay attention to every comma and even every quote. Because when that was translated into English, I even believe the Holy Spirit was presiding over that. There's a great, great detail. The rabbis tell us this, and it's a precious thing. The rabbis tell us that when the Messiah comes, he will even interpret between the lines and between the words that are found in a verse. You say, well, that's rather extreme. Wow. You haven't been to Israel yet, have you? They believe that when the Messiah comes, he will interpret clearly to your understanding every word of the scriptures. Well, the Messiah has come, exactly as those scriptures foretold. Under our third point that we looked at last time, what Christians believe about the Bible was that it's contemporary. God's word never gets old. It's never late. It's never out of date. The Bible is not some old-fashioned book. Isn't it interesting today, and we touched on this last time, that the Bible, for example, the Bible says, don't have premarital sex, it ruins your life. Oh, that's such an old-fashioned book. What a silly thing. And what's the big debate today among young people? To do or not to do? That is the question. Now to do is to die or get polluted in your bloodstream or in some other area of your body. That's a fact. To not do is to live a healthy life. Immune systems are under attack like never before. And how interesting it is that our former Surgeon General of the United States, C. Everett Koop, wrote in one of his books, that for every sexual encounter someone has with someone else, be it male or female, when the proteins of that other person are deposited in the other, be it by intercourse or by saliva, that the biology of that person, partner, resides in your system up to 7 years. Did you know that? That's one sexual encounter. One. If you're with Bubbles on Monday and Cecilia on Tuesday, you will have Bubbles' biology in you for 7 years. Some of you are going, shh, I've got my little kids here. That's why you have a children's ministry. Don't go any further. You should have put them in the children's ministry then. If somebody's with Cecilia on Tuesday, another 7 years. This is known in the scientific community. This is known by biologists. This is known by doctors. This is known, and it's written about in books. Old-fashioned book? Interesting, huh?
I don't want to hear this.
Well, you know what? Obey the word. God's given it for a great reason and a great purpose that you might have life. It's contemporary by its nature. It's contemporary to our time. And it's contemporary to every situation of our life. And then we saw last time that the Bible is verifiable by the sciences. We talked about archaeology. How God confirmed the Bible to us. He didn't have to do it. But he confirmed the Bible to us in archaeological sciences. That is, the word of God speaks about a certain place or a culture or a people. And archaeologists run over to those Bible lands, put a shovel in the ground, and what do they dig up? The exact coinage or the exact data from the earth that spoke of in the scripture. Then we look at the astronomical, astronomy, the sciences of the heavens. And we looked at, just touched on, by the way, how God is the creator and how the evidence of his creative powers, his fingerprints, is everywhere. I love Sunday mornings when we dedicate the babies. They're so cool. You want to know why? For a lot of reasons. But one of them is they are just dotted with God's fingerprints all over them. The potential that is in them, put there by God. The DNA, their little lips, their eyes, their eye color, hair color, their structure. It was written down by God in the DNA code. And then what does Jeremiah and what does the Apostle Paul say? That before I was ever formed, God, in my mother's womb, you knew every bit of me. That's awesome. That's perfect science. Biologically, God is the great scientist. We talked about how the very hematology of the human scientists now tell us, unbelieving scientists, they don't believe in the Bible, they don't believe in God, and yet they're telling us that through blood research and the study of the blood, that they can trace all of us back now to one female. Man, when I heard that years ago, I almost fell off my stool. That we have unbelieving scientists tell us that every one of us can be traced back to the same female? You know her name, don't you? Eve, our first mom. And now scientists is telling us the same thing. What Christians believe about the Bible, number five, is that the Bible is historically accurate. Accurate in world events. There's no other book in the world that has the tenacity to go after this very topic, that the Bible is historically accurate. Before it can be historically accurate, the Bible first has to be prophetically accurate. Because here's the wonderful thing about time. What has become history to us was once prophetic to a group of people. For example, you and I look back at the cross of Jesus Christ, don't we? You and I look back to what God did on the cross. But what about Daniel? What about Isaiah? What about Jeremiah? What about Noah? What did they do? They looked ahead to the cross. God told Abraham that he would offer up himself a lamb. In Genesis chapter 22. They looked ahead in faith, just like you and I look back in faith. What was futuristic to those of the past is now history to us. God is altogether historically accurate, no doubt about it. He's historically accurate in wars and politics and nations and in cultures. He's accurate in human affairs. He's accurate in these things. The Bible is amazing, and a lot of people don't want to pick it up because even though they ridicule it and make light of it, the truth is when they open it, it's like looking into a mirror and seeing your own face. Now, if you're young, you like to do that. I mean, you turn on the lights. In fact, when you're young, you want more light on the mirror. Oh, I need better lighting. This is better. Why? Because you look good. Now, being the age that I am, it's dim the lights.
Can we bring them down a little?
Why? Because, you know, I got this wrinkle here and that there and a booger there, you know. It's like pathetic. It's terrible. When we look at the Bible, it's like looking at a mirror. We see who we really are. People are afraid to death of the Bible. And that's unfortunate. Because the word of the Lord says again, as we read it in Psalm 107, verse 20, I sent my word and healed them from all their destructions. The Bible gives us life. We can take a message from the Bible, go onto a school or college campus, and that message will immediately become contemporary to those kids. Isn't that amazing? Happens every day. Accurate in human affairs. Your Bible is based upon God's holy will, and you can trust it. And then we look to this, and this is our final point. What Christians think about the Bible is that it's applicable for life. If you're a Christian tonight, your Bible is, in some respect, your life. What do I mean by that? Will you jot a few verses down, please? In 1 Thessalonians 5:23, it says, "Now may the God of all peace himself sanctify you," that is, set you apart from the world completely. "May your whole spirit," and it's a lowercase s, it's not the Holy Spirit, it's your spirit, my spirit. We'll talk more about this in just a second. "May he sanctify you completely with your whole spirit, your soul, and body. May they be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." The Bible is applicable to our lives. Why? It is the only balm. It is the only healing ointment that applies to our very total being, our spirit, our soul, our bodies. It's an amazing thing to realize that somehow, that when the Word of God goes into our ears, are you listening, everyone? That when the Word of God goes into our ears and we allow it to go into our heart. Why do I put it that way? Because we can be hearing a lot of stuff. You know what I'm saying? But am I listening? For example, did you read your Bible this morning before your day came upon you? Question, what did you read? If you were reading, as I often do, and I got caught doing it this morning, I was reading my devotion, Oswald Chambers, for this date. As I was reading it, I concluded that when I came to the end, I closed the book, I could not tell you within 3 seconds after I closed it what I read. You want to know why? I was listening to others in the house waking up. I could hear the house beginning to stir. For whatever reason, I was focusing on that, and it completely robbed me from what I was reading. I had to go back and reread it. And for what reason, I don't know. I had to focus so hard on what Chambers was trying to teach me from the Bible this morning on today's date. Do you ever have that happen? Boy, that was a lot of people. You know what I'm talking about. It's pretty amazing. The funny thing is, I don't know about you, but when you open the Bible, don't you have to clear your desk of everything else? Or if there's a TV in front of you, that's what it does to me. It's like that TV, even though it's off, it's going, "Turn me on. Turn me on. There's news on. Fox News, MSNBC, CNN, that kind of stuff." I mean, you know me. I'm a news freak. I'm a junkie on news. And man, I got to struggle with that. And I have to listen. And we all have our ways of combating that. Sometimes we'll read out loud. Sometimes I'll say to Lisa, read this to me. Just read it out loud to me. I'm more of an auditory learner. Maybe you're a young person and you've grown up under your parents' faith. You know, you had no problems when you were 5 years old. Oh yeah, praise the Lord. Remember when your parents, when you were like 3 years old, praise the Lord, Johnny. Oh yeah, yeah. Johnny, he doesn't know what he's doing. Praise the Lord. We have a friend whose dog can praise the Lord. It's true. You say praise the Lord and the dog stands up and lifts its hands. I'm not kidding. We'll get in a circle at home and pray, and our dog will get in the middle, and she'll roll over on her back and put all four legs straight up. Hallelujah, you know. So, no, that's not what's going on. Well, I don't know. You haven't met my dog. Pretty born-again dog, if you ask me. But anyway, the thing is, it's an expression of the will, you know, and we want to worship him. We want to know him. But you may be young. And you lifted your hands, or you read your Bible. Now you're 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. And you're wondering, what in the world is going on, and what do I believe? I want you to know right now, that is absolutely normal. Parents, back off, get on your knees, and pray for them. They already know what to do. If you've raised them in a Christian home, you've given them all the tools. It's time now, mom and dad, to close the mouth, get on your knees, and pray them through this very critical time, because here's the deal. Many parents will say, well, my child accepted the Lord when they were 5, and now they're 21, not walking with God. All those years they lived under your faith. They were under your umbrella. Now they've come into the realm of their own faith. It's time for them now to trust God, because now they have become accountable to God. And those of you who are parents of teenagers, you have this thing called teen rebellion. And you think, you know, what are they doing? Listen, number one thing to remember about teen rebellion is that teen rebellion is that phase where they are making a way out from your authority. That has to happen. Dad, back off. It must happen. Encourage your child, encourage your son and daughter to find authority in God. That's normal for a child to begin as a teenager to start questioning mom and dad's authority. That's normal. It's not altogether evil. Steer them to God's authority, because they are now coming to that place to where they must know Jesus personally. They've got to make that decision. If they don't, of course, it's hell. But they accepted the Lord when they were 5. You know what? More than them accepting the Lord when they were 5, and they may or may not have, when they come into that time of accountability where their own will now says, I will not go to church, I will not worship God, I will not open my Bible, I will do my own thing, I want to live my own life, mom and dad, fall to your knees and pray, because that's a critical area. Are they born again but backsliding, or are they lost because they were never saved? Get on your knees and intercede for your kids.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study simply called About the Bible. It's an in-depth look at how God's written word is proven time and time again to be accurate and to be trustworthy. About the Bible. It's part of Pastor Jack's initial look at this topical series called What Christians Believe, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Listen, have you had a chance to visit realradioactive.org lately? Of course, you can hear past editions of Real Radio, but you can also subscribe to Words to the Wise. Now, Words to the Wise is Pastor Jack's devotional. I think you're going to like it. You can get it by email, and it's a great way to keep in touch with Real Radio, as well as learn and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord. Just visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. Now, I personally have a bunch of devotionals sitting around the house. Pastor Jack's is the one that I go to every day. Get yours. Call us if you'd like, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.